Best latest release, Grim Scary Tales, came out yesterday, actually, in the States. Can you tell us a little bit more about this release? What were you guys shooting for, since it's been 8 years since a full-length release from the band?
Yeah, after Murder Metal, I took a little break from reading or writing about the serial killers or killers, just for my own sanity. You know, too much of anything is not good for you. You know, even like water. If you try drinking 50 gallons of water, it's called drowning. You know, it's like, you know, too much of anything is not good for you. So I just take a break from it sometimes to come back with a fresh perspective and try to come from different angles with it. I sat down for like 2 years after a two-year break, and I wrote a two-part album, and the second part is not finished yet. We just came out with Grim Scary Tales Part 1, which is not really listed on the album or anything like that, but Part 2 will be coming out next year. I'm going to record it this year, and it'll take off from where the other one left off and go to Modern Time Killers. It's going to, the whole project will be the history of murder.
Okay, and for this part, what did you pick this one particularly? Are there the ones that are more interesting to you, or what was the reason behind picking the 14 killers you presented the first part?
Well, it depends on, I don't think so much about street killers or anything like that, like where it's like, we've done them in the past, where these guys just blow up for a day and go out and kill a bunch of people with a gun. So we don't think so much about that. We have in the past, we had some songs about these guys, but the new album is more history and interesting characters from the past, famous characters, very sick characters. You know, we try to pick the best, most interesting ones. And, Vlad the Impaler, whatever, not so much a serial killer, but he was a soldier in all different kinds of wars and stuff, and compelling people, watching them suffer. So, I mean, in the past, we sang about different topics, funeral homes, embalmers, grave diggers, whatever. But we concentrate on killers now more, but we're not off limits to anything with the name of Cobb. You know, we can go any direction we want to go.
And to have a perspective on this, and then you guys represent each song with like a very diverse like music. How do you manage to say, okay, I want to play the song for this guy with this type of style and like stuff like that?
Well, most of it is like I write the lyrics first. I'll sit down and come up with an idea. But then I start coming up with melodies in my head. And I'll, like, hum them to myself. I actually have a little teeny tape, or digital recorder, not tape. It's, like, long gone, I guess. digital recorder that I could just, hum an idea, and there's, like, a melody. And, I'll be writing lyrics sometimes. And I'll forget these melodies if I don't, like, hum it into the recorder. I'll go home across the street from my house where I hang out at and just figure it out in guitar, the melody from a little tape player or whatever. But most of it's lyrics first, and sometimes the music at the same time. But then I write a lot of the music later on after I write all the lyrics.
So there's no particular process to you being like, oh, okay, well, this person, I have a feeling about this and that, and then you have, like, you know, the straight death grind, or you do a more technical approach, just whatever sparks the moment?
You know, it's pretty much whatever pops into my head. You know, it's like, I have a girlfriend, and if something pops in my head, I'll give her a little poetry or whatever, you know, rhymes and just these, like, little love poems or whatever, you know. And same thing with the killers, you know. If something pops in my head, I'm just like, okay, I'll write it down or try to record it, hum it into a little recorder, take my guitar up at my house, amplifier right there, of course, and just try to mess around with this stuff, you know. It's nothing planned or anything like that. It's just, it kind of happens, you know.
And going to the subject again, I mean, well, some bands try to evolve into, you know, more deep and philosophical themes, but you guys seem to keep it simple since the beginning. Why don't you guys decide to just, you know, this hands-on approach and something easy to understand, easy to relate, pretty straightforward?
That's what we do, man. That's what we do. See, you know, when I first started doing this, I kind of thought I made this file up, you know, thinking about killers or whatever, like, okay, this is my idea, I came up with it. But then I started researching it, and I went back in history, and these guys would travel around before printing presses and stuff, before mass media, any kind of, you know, way of printing stuff. It was all wood carvings and stuff, you know. And I read about these, you know, minstrels who would travel around, and they would perform and tell about different killers from different towns. For a place to stay for the night, maybe a little bit of money, a little bit of food, and they would sing about the killers and do poetry about killers. And we just kind of do it in modern times. We're bringing back an old art form that was done, you know, so many years ago, you know. And I didn't really realize it until I started researching it, but, you know, it's historical. We're bringing back an old art form. And we call it murder metal, you know.
Yeah.
On our one album, it's kind of a copy of Venom's, or a parody of black metal from Venom. But I would call it more murder music. We could go any style we want to go, as long as we sing about the killers, and, you know, don't do rap music or anything like that, you know. So.
And do you often come off to, like, people that know exactly what you do? Do they think, like, oh man, this guy must be really fucked up if he likes to write and sing about that?
You mean the killers?
Well, I mean, just to, I mean, regular people that know what kind of, yeah, musical influences you have in your lyrics.
Oh, my mom hates it. She's like, it's a bunch of crap you guys do, you know? But then, you know, I've given her, like, the Minstrels albums, her acoustic stuff, and she likes it and stuff. She appreciates, you know, she came and see me at karaoke. I do Beatles or Elvis or Johnny Cash or whatever. I like to sing different styles of music. I'm just not like all death metal vocals all the time or something like that. And my mom, like, was like, that's a bunch of crap, your music, you know. This is what I grew up with since I did it, you know, heavy metal. You know, I used to play Black Sabbath in high school and stuff. My mom never liked this stuff, you know. But she bought Beatles albums for me, and, like, Burl Ives and children's music, Disney, whatever. And it kind of grew on me, what my mom bought for me in the past. So she was a big influence on me and my mom. It's the record she bought for me in the past. And, you know, another influence for me in my life is Dr. Seuss. It's all rhymes. This is a lot of rhymes. Children's rhymes and stuff. So Dr. Seuss kind of rubbed off on me.
I mean, we kind of try to picture all of that, and it seems a bit bizarre from the, you know, the perspective we get behind just listening to the band's work. It's like, yeah, interesting.
Well, it's all real. This is no joke. This is not some fictional thing, some novel, some horror story or anything. This stuff really happened. This is history. And some people might cut us down and say, you guys are, you know, just, like, making a little bit of money. That's all we make. Not too much, but a little bit of money off these killer stories. But it's history. It's an art form. We do a certain kind of art form with our music. And I think this is something that shouldn't get, like, swept under the carpet. Like, well, we can't talk about that. Oh, that's not PC. No, this is history. And people should talk about this. and should know about this, it's like a kind of a warning to people. You know, even kids, you know, when they get to a certain age, you want to play macabre for little kids or anything like that. No, but as teenagers or something, hey, watch out. There's a lot of crazy people out there in this crazy world.
And what would you think would be the limit, you know, of going over to the, like, extremely bad taste when it comes to doing the lyrics and the stuff, I mean, the portraying what these killers did?
I didn't write it.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you...
I didn't write the story. I wrote the song.
Yeah, exactly, but I mean... I think...
So you say, Pete...
Excuse me?
Oh, go on.
Oh, no, but I mean, we mean that in the sense of, you know, being overly ridiculous and maybe moving more to the bad taste and how you relate the story. Yeah, because, I mean, everybody's aware of how the, I mean, all the atrocities people made, but, you know, how do you portray it in your art form can be done differently, I mean, with different tact.
Well, it's nothing I ever planned or anything like that. It's not like I sat down and said, well, I want to make something that really offends people. It's this thing just kind of came to me as, you know, like an art form, you know what I'm saying? It's just something I did, you know, something I do, and I don't think too many other people in the world do it.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, there's only quite a few bands, and I mean...
So I guess someone has to do it, and I guess I'm the one.
At what point or what time did you thought, oh, okay, well, I want to do this, you know? What was the turning point for you to decide to sing about this instead of, like, you know, Carvers or whatever?
Well, there was no turning point. There was no plan, nothing like that. I did a book report on Bonnie and Clyde when I was about 15 years old in junior high. And I had a book from the library at the school I went to, the school.
Uh-huh.
And it was called Blood Letters and Bad Men. It had the mafia and serial killers in there. And so I started just glancing through the pages of the pictures. So I had Guillen, started reading that. Okay, Albert Fish, the cannibal old man that was eating little kids. And I was, like, fascinated. I was like, what? How could this old guy do this? You know, how is that possible, you know? And I think everybody in the world, if they see that kind of headline on a newspaper or something where cannibal killer or whatever, they're going to be interested and they're going to want to read on just to see what, you know, actual human beings are capable of doing and just be fascinated by it, even though they don't condone it. Of course I don't condone the stuff. I don't say these guys are good in my music. I don't say they're my heroes.
No.
I just tell the stories about these guys. It's an art form. That's all it is.
And, I mean, out of all the research you've done for this, which one do you consider to be the most heinous one?
Well, probably, you know, these guys from the past were probably the worst, of course. You know, these guys before mass media and forensics and all this stuff, you know, these guys could get away with whatever they wanted to, you know, even, you know, 50 years ago or 100 years ago, they didn't have the technology they do today, but, you know, like this guy Gilderay, that sang about the Black Knight, it's like this guy was, he killed hundreds of kids, he'd get peasant kids, they'd kidnap them, he'd have his staff kidnap them, he'd sacrifice kids to demons, and he'd cut them open and masturbate on their entrails, on their organs. I mean, these are some pretty sick people. Albert Fish probably killed about 20 kids or something like that, but what he did in his life, just some perversities, eating poop, drinking his piss, eating, you know, one kid's shit when he killed him and he ate his arm and shit for dinner. Stuff like that. It's like the most sick stories. So those kind of guys, I mean, you could, like Albert Fish, I want to do an album on in the future called Fish Tales. It'll be after Grimm's Scary Tales Part 2. I've already announced it for many years, but I have a lot of songs for this album. It'll be seafaring stuff, like sailor music, electric and acoustic. It'll be macabre minstrels in there, too. And it'll be Albert Fish, children's music about him eating little kids. it's so sick, but it's all history. It might be bad taste if someone wants to say that, but that's just what I do, you know. That's it, you know. It's not like trying to offend people or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of art it's like that.
I could write it with total death metal music all the time, just grunting with no, you know, whatever. I could make it where it's not so sick or whatever, where you have to read the lyrics to understand it, you know what I'm saying? But that's not how macabre works, you know. We're pretty much straight to the point with it, with the history.
And
it's pretty much telling the stories about these killers where you can understand the lyrics. And sometimes it's hard to understand me, I'm sure, you know, but you have to read the lyrics sometimes, but it seems like our fans want to read the lyrics and see what I'm talking about in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And do you think that,
Because it's real. Am I right? Because it's real.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, it's
sorry for cutting you off, I'm sorry.
No, and I mean, we also think, I mean, it's fascinating. This is a subject that's also personal interest in. It's fascinating how many documentaries, movies, and things are made about this people. And, I mean, some other people would expect that this is something that, you know, people wouldn't want to hear or talk about. But it's just amazing how the human curiosity works and wanting to know, you know, this type of things.
Well, I mean, the history of the world is pretty gruesome, you know? And these are not things that get swept under the carpet, like, you know, Holocaust or whatever, you know, all these different, you know, atrocities throughout the history of man. But these serial killers have been around since the beginning of man. Since it just wasn't recorded. We didn't have the media, and, I mean, imagine the killers from the past we don't know about. You know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, without roads, without all the communication and everything, yeah, it could have been people.
Yeah, I'm sure it was much worse than it is today. And people think it's a new phenomena, like these killers are some new thing. No, it was probably a lot worse in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And also people think that they're like... excuse me, yeah?
Well, the only thing is the population wasn't as big. So that's the only thing, and the media was different. So, but, you know, for smaller populations with no media, I'm sure there were some very gruesome killers, very bad ones that never got caught.
Oh, yes, exactly. And, I mean, even now, I don't know where we saw the statistic that there's between 5 and 10 serial killers at any point in time, I mean, roaming free without being discovered yet. So it's something... quite surprising, well, not surprising, but it's something quite interesting, I think. And I mean, in terms of all
you know what's really interesting about it is, you know, what makes these guys kill, what makes them tick, you know. And if you look at it, I've studied this for some years now, you know, some of it's psychology, some of it's genetics, whatever, you know, I don't know. But they're all different. Every case is different. The upbringing of these people, the way they were raised, could be genetic defects. Who knows, you know? I don't know. But they're all different. It's not, you can't prescribe one general thing for all these guys. Like, this is the reason. No. It's all different reasons. And each case is an individual case.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no recipe for it.
There's no formula for figuring it out, but, you know, each case is different, but I think these guys need to be studied, you know. I'm not like some guy that's like, oh, death penalty is the worst thing in the world, you shouldn't execute people, but I think these serial killers should be studied and stuff and kept alive, you know, and just study them. This one book I read, it was called My Life Among the Serial Killers, and, It's just an amazing book, and this lady, I can't remember her name, Montgomery was her last name, but she interviewed all the killers for like months. She's a psychologist, and Gacy, Ed Gein, all these different killers, and she said you know, she gives her opinions on why these guys did this, you know, and you start studying stuff like that, you get into, you know, it's not just like people start understanding that these aren't normal people. They're not just like your average, but they could seem like that. You wouldn't even know they're a serial killer. Because I have a new song on the part two of the Grimm Scary Tales. And it's you know John Gacy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I have one song about him on Sinister Slaughter. It's called Gacy's Lot. But I'm doing a new song about Gacy called There's a Barbecue at John Gacy's House. He would have an annual barbecue with all his neighbors and friends, maybe 100 people. And he had 28 bodies in his house while he's cooking for all these people. So that shows you the disguise these guys could put on. And have, imagine someone going into the bathroom. What is that smell? Inside the house, you know, it was some strange smell, you know. So these guys were definitely disguise artists. They can get away with it, but, you know, the psychology of it is what I'm starting to get into more now.
Yeah, exactly. It's fascinating how somebody else's mind works, just starting from there, and somebody that has more twisted sense of reality, it must be completely different, too.
And most of these guys were antisocial, or they call them sociopaths, and they have no conscience, where humans are objects, or just like something in your house, like an object or something, but they have no conscience, and they would treat humans like objects and stuff, and they're learning this stuff all the time about these serial killers, but, you know, when they execute them, they study them for years. This lady even had a piece of John Gacy's brain, and she kept it. She was a psychologist, and she kept a piece of his brain in a jar, and she's got a family with kids, and it's like, okay, that's a little bit weirder than I am with the music. You have a piece of John Gacy's brain. I have some paintings by Gacy at my house, but I don't have a piece of his brain.
And getting back a little bit into the band. I mean, do you guys ever get accosted by, you know, groups of people that are not?
No, I've had a few people say comments. You know, if I throw, you know, sometimes people fry. I meet people all the time. I go hang out. If someone asks me an honest question, I'll give them an honest answer. What do you sing about in your band? Well, I sing about true crime. I sing about serial killers. I tell the stories about them. Well, that's terrible. Okay, well, you know, what can I say? That's what I do, you know. It's like, you want an honest answer, I'll give it to you. But, I don't know. Is what I do so bad, you know? People write books on these guys. They do movies. And I just do a different thing, you know, art form, telling the stories to music. I don't condone them. I don't say they're good. If anything, I cut them down on my music and say they had some problems.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all basically...
I mean, sure, our music is kind of circus-like sometimes. I'm not making fun of it. It just makes it more trying to get inside the killer's mind with the crazy, like, kids' music and stuff, you know, where it's like this crazy mix like that, where... If I just did some crazy distorted chords, it's not going to have the same kind of feel.
Yeah, exactly. It has to have a different element to contrast. So, I mean, in terms of, I mean, like we talked about, you have the second part coming out next year. Are you guys any touring plan? How are you going to support this release and all that?
Yeah, we have a Europe tour in April and part of May. It's we're headlining in Europe for like 3 weeks with General Surgery, and they're from Sweden or Switzerland. I'm mixed up on the stuff. but it'll be a great tour. We're friends with the guys. I toured with another band, Repugnant, before, and we played a festival with General Surgery. They're great. These guys dress up like doctors with blood all over them and stuff with the surgical stuff on, you know. And it'll be a good tour. It should be really good. and we'll be playing a lot of the stuff off of Grimm's Fairy Tales. Then we have July in the U.S., some shows in Canada in August, and after that we'll see what happens. Australia, probably.
And, just to kind of, you know, a little bit off base, do you ever imagine that all this music will take you to all the places that you get to tour with the band?
Well, yeah, I realized that in, like, 1994 when I did a tour with Brutal Truth and Pungent Stench, and I played, they brought Macabre off to Israel. They didn't want the other bands at that point, before the tour, no, because they had played out there before, Pungent Stench and stuff, but they just wanted us to come out there. So we played two shows in Israel, then we started a 70-show tour with Pungent Stench, Brutal Truth. It was like 2.5 months altogether. So I realized at that point that, yeah, we're going to be doing some stuff here, but, you know, we haven't really pushed Macabre that much. I could have done a lot more with Macabre, but I don't want to push myself into writing stuff like, yeah, I have to have an album out every year,
yeah,
every 2 years. I'm not like that. Whatever comes to me, I write it. If I don't feel like writing, I don't write. You know, that's just me.
And, okay, just to kind of wrap things up, is there anything that you want to let the people know in North America? That, I mean, the album's just out. Any, like, you know, publicity or whatever you want to plug?
Well, I just hope people come see us when we come somewhere near their town, you know. We don't always play, you know, every single country or every single state, but, I mean, if it's within reasonable distance for someone to travel, come check us out. We'll try to give you the best show we can, and we appreciate everyone's support, and